Secondly, around the time of Solvay 1927, a number of professorships became vacant. Those who had helped create the new physics filled nearly all of these. The institutes they headed quickly began to attract many of the best and brightest students from Germany and across Europe. Schrödinger had secured the most prestigious position as Planck's successor in Berlin. Immediately after the Solvay conference, Heisenberg arrived in Leipzig to take up his post as professor and director of the Institute for Theoretical Physics. Within 6 months, in April 1928, Pauli moved from Hamburg to a professorship at the EHT in Zurich. Pascual Jordan, whose mathematical skills had been vital to the development of matrix mechanics, succeeded Pauli in Hamburg. Before long, through regular visits and the exchange of assistants and students between each other and Bohr's Institute, Heisenberg and Pauli established Leipzig and Zurich as centers of quantum physics. With Cramers already installed at the University of Utrecht and Born at Göttingen, the Copenhagen interpretation soon became quantum dogma. Lastly, despite their differences, Bohr and his younger associates always presented a united front against all challenges to the Copenhagen interpretation. The one exception was Paul Dirac. Appointed Lucasian professor of mathematics at Cambridge University in September 1932, a chair once occupied by Isaac Newton, Dirac was never interested in the question of interpretation. It seemed to him to be a pointless preoccupation that led to no new equations. Tellingly, he called himself a mathematical physicist, whereas neither his contemporaries, Heisenberg and Pauli, nor Einstein and Bohr, ever described themselves as such. They were theoretical physicists to a man, as was Lorentz, the acknowledged elder statesman of the clan who died in February 1928. "To me personally," Einstein wrote later, "he meant more than all the others encountered in my lifetime." Soon, Einstein's own health became a matter of concern. In April 1928, during a short visit to Switzerland, he collapsed as he carried his suitcase up a steep hill. At first, it was thought that he had suffered a heart attack, but then an enlargement of the heart was diagnosed. Later, Einstein told his friend Michel Besso that he had felt close to croaking, before adding, "which, of course, one shouldn't put off unduly."